This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from City Bikes, a worker-owned, cooperatively run bicycle shop with two locations. City Bikes Annex offers new and used bicycles and trailers at 8th and Southeast Ankeny, 503-239-6951, and City Bikes Repair Shop, which has a large selection of used and new parts just west of 20th and Southeast Ankeny, 503-239-0553. More information at citybikes.com. Good morning. You're listening to the KABU Bike Show here on KBOO in Portland. We are on the air the first Wednesday of every month from 9 to 10 o'clock a.m. And pleased to have Sarah back in the studio. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be back in Portland. The streets are so clear of cars and the pavement is so smooth and it's a beautiful day. I encourage everybody to take your bike out. Let it roll.
This morning we're going to be talking with Stephen Kung from Community Exchange Cycle Touring Club. We're also going to be talking to Vladislav Davidson from Sustainable Energy in Motion Bike Tours, two great different tour groups who are doing work here in Portland to bring a real alternative to the type of bike touring that is generally offered out there. We'll also be taking your calls later on in the morning. But first, to start things off, we'd like to tell you about some great things happening in town and, of course, get an update from Sarah on what's going on in New York City. It's sort of our sister city, I feel like. We get to talk about it so much on the show. So coming up, lots of great events happening. The Film by Bike Film Festival has a call for entries, and the deadline is March 15th. So you still have a little bit of time to get a bike film together. It is a real grassroots style festival, so even if you've never made a movie before, I would encourage you to try and put something together. Again, that deadline is March 15th. Films need to be 8 minutes or less, and the website for more information is filmedbybike.org.
And there is an opportunity for anybody who's interested in a career in bicycling, either short-term or even for a possible long-term employment situation, special situation. It's at a cooperative bike shop. This is City Bikes. It's on Ankeny Street in Southeast Portland, two locations. And it's special because it's a worker-owned cooperative, which means that the people who work there are participating in how the cooperative is run. And you would start off as a mechanic or salesperson or both, and you have the opportunity to be an owner of the business eventually. Very, very special place to work. I've spent a good part of my life, almost maybe more than a third now, working there. It's awesome environment, very great, and I'm told that the hiring deadline is in 3 weeks. They'll start hiring people, so if you're interested, you would want to bring a resume to the City Bikes Annex, which is on 8th and Southeast Ankeny, directly across from KABU, and see if you could get involved there. Great opportunity.
And also, shift2bikes.org is in the very beginning stages of planning their summer festival, which is Pedalpalooza. It's 2 weeks of pure bike fun, 2+ weeks. And if you're interested in actually getting involved in the behind-the-scenes planning of the festival, now is the time to do that. They're just getting started. You can go to shift2bikes.org for more information. That's shift2bikes.org. And now, an update from Sarah on New York City.
All right. Well, I just spent a month and a week in New York City and been working on trying to support critical mass in Manhattan since last year. It's been a mess. Critical mass in New York City has been a mess since August 2004 when the Republican National Convention came there. And the critical mass was a massive 5,000 persons strong and was very politically charged, more so than usual. So a bike ride that starts off just to promote safe use of bicycles in the street and building bicycle community turned into a massively charged political situation, and on that very ride there were 265 people arrested somewhere in that neighborhood. And then since then there have been a total, including people arrested on that time, 687 people arrested, and really difficult for people to persevere and continue with critical mass. There have been all kinds of challenges. One of them has been that there have been a number of legal cases where the city would like to make it illegal, special law, illegal for people to ride bikes together in a group without applying for a permit. They ran this by a federal judge in 2004. Federal judge said, no, thank you. I'm not going to make this judgment. This is not for me, and I don't think this is required. Police should be able to police the ride without a special law giving them the right to arrest people for just riding in a group. But that's what police have been doing. As on their own free will, they arrest people for parading without a permit. So a federal judge rejected it in 2004. And then the city applied again in March of 2005, filed a lawsuit against an environmental group in New York City, Time's Up. They filed a lawsuit that would have made it illegal to gather together at Union Square before the ride. It would have made it illegal for them to ride together without a permit, and also illegal for them to promote, even so far as just to post the time of the ride on their website. So this was a pretty big challenge for the beautiful First Amendment that we have, protecting our right to gather, to speak, to promote, and to express ourselves. And it was a bit scary. There we were listening to this mandate from the city asking for those things to be made illegal. Meanwhile, people were getting arrested, and the premise for their arrest was that they were riding with others. Not if you stopped at a light, you're more likely to be arrested than those who blew the light. It's not about traffic infractions. It's about riding with others. So a bit challenging to deal with, a little hard to do. I strongly believe it's not illegal to ride with others. Riding with others is one way to make it safe. And many others in New York City believe the same. And so the ride continued despite the extreme hostility from the police. And I just spent some time there, been working on a project with the World Car Free Network to have a team of legal observers to observe the ride. And in December, one of our legal observers was arrested, and she was stopping for lights, and she was trying to observe in legal fashion, and she was arrested again for riding with the group. And her armband was taken by the police as evidence and not returned to her, won't be returned until her case is completed. That could take as long as a year. And I needed to go back there to see what was happening out of personal interest and also to want to support the project I was working on. And I was there for the January ride, which was an extreme mess, big mess. Gathered at Union Square, there was about 100 people riding. And there was about maybe 40 legal observers. We had seven legal observers on our own team, and then there's National Legal Observers, National Lawyers Guild legal observers. And it's kind of an interesting and absurd situation. The 100 riders ride out, tons of police flanking the ride on every side, all over the place, and then you have 30, 40 people running along the sidewalk, and the pedestrians on the street are just like, what's going on? It's definitely an absurd-looking situation. But within five blocks, there was a really horrible event. Two police officers crashed into each other, and they were making arrests. So there were five people being arrested there, and the legal observers were engaged in trying to make sure people had contact information so we could call their friends and to be sure that we know who's being arrested and to make sure that they get out of jail and that they're taken care of. But watching those police officers lie on their backs and not move for it seemed like forever, but it was maybe 10, 12 minutes, was really extraordinarily disturbing and awful, and kind of just was a culmination of how negative things could be and disturbing. So we kept working on trying to recruit legal observers so there would be people to watch. And amazingly, right in the middle of February, February 14th, Valentine's Day present, the state judge gave his ruling on the lawsuit, which has been out for a full year. And it was unexpected that it would just come at that time. But all of a sudden, he said, I've made my decision, and I deny the city's injunction on all counts. The ride should not require a permit. People should be able to promote it on the website. Gathering in a park is not requiring of a permit. In this case, these people are not part of a, it's not a group necessarily. It's not an organizer. And he just tossed the lawsuit right out. And it was an amazing victory. And still concerned that the police would continue with what they're doing, so everyone was working quite hard to challenge that, people writing letters, people supporting in any way they can. And another thing that happened was an article came out right on the front page of the Metro section on the very day of the ride, just taking down the police for being very dangerous in their response, bringing helicopters down in between the buildings, riding their motorcycles on the sidewalk, going the wrong way on streets, driving their cars very fast into crowds, and basically just putting a big publicity on something that's been happening for a long time that hasn't been in the public eye. And the ride was very different. We had plenty of police, but they arrested only three people, and they issued citations instead. So something that is not so pleasant to get, but is realistic. If you don't go, if you don't stop for a red light, people were getting a ticket. So 23 tickets were issued, and three people were arrested. But nobody was arrested for parading without a permit or for riding your bike with others. It was all for disorderly conduct, which is basically blocking traffic, which is dubious in its own way, but it's a really huge, huge triumph, I think, that people are no longer being arrested for riding bikes in a group, which is, in New York City especially, riding by yourself, you feel like you're going to get picked off by cars at any time and die. It feels that way, frankly, and riding with others, you feel a bit more safe, which really shouldn't be illegal if that's the only way you can feel safe. So thanks for having my report, and I appreciate the support that Portland gave New York City in working through that, and there may still be more challenges ahead, but that's the nature of the beast.
That's great. Thanks, Sarah. I also feel like a lot of the success that New York City had when they hosted Bike Summer a few summers ago was because of relationships they had formed with people here in Portland and the swapping of information, and also some of folks from Portland who hosted events in New York City during their festival. So it's great to see this swapping of bike culture and sharing of ideas across the different states, them being on way other side of the country. So thanks for the update, Sarah.
Yes.
So this morning we have some guests in the studio with us this morning. We're going to be talking with Stephen Kung from Community Exchange Cycle Touring Club, and also Vladislav Davidson, who's with the Sustainable Energy in Motion Bike Tours. And we'll be taking your calls later on in the program if you have questions for these two guests. So good morning, both of you. It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So let's start off with you, Vladislav. Tell us a little bit about your tours that you have planned and when they take place.
Well, Aline, we run bike tours to organic farms, Native American communities, and we do service projects everywhere we go. We have 1, 2, and 3 week tours throughout the summer, May until September. And, you know, there's many bike tours out there. The big difference with us is you actually get to go to these really amazing places and actually get to work where we stay. It's all camping accommodations. There's not going to be any five-star hotels or anything along those lines. And we're going to have a biodiesel-powered French fry smelling supporting gear van with us that's going to carry people's stuff.
And so your tours are 1, 2, or 3 weeks long, so people can choose whatever length that suits them the best.
Correct, absolutely.
That's great.
And can you tell us about some of the work that people would be involved in if they were to come on the tour?
Well, you know, I mean, it really varies depending on what our hosts actually need done. It may be as varied as pulling weeds at an organic farm to helping put up a fence, to doing something like, we did a really cool project out in Tillamook where we took these giant straw bales and we cut up the centers out of them and put plants in them and then put the straw bales outside of this really boring concrete building. So by the time we had left, the building was 10 times more beautiful than when we had arrived. But it really depends on what the host really needs.
And how do you choose the hosts that you host sites and the projects that you're going to work on?
You know, it's basically a big network. What inevitably ends up happening is we'll find an organic farm, and that farm will connect us to everyone in the area, and then those people will connect us to others, and so on. It's basically just networking right through. Every host we go to, we basically tell them, hey, we have 30 people coming through town. What can we do to you, for you? How can we help you? And we try to build those mutually beneficial relationships with our hosts.
And organizing tours, I know, is not an easy project. So what is it that interests you about this, and why did you decide to take on this project?
Well, you know, I biked cross country a couple summers ago, and doing something very similar was another tour ran by Global Exchange. And I just had a blast. We stayed with Mormons in Utah. We stayed with Native Americans in Nevada. We camped out. We talked with folks in places like Liberty, Missouri, places I would never otherwise visit. And I just had a blast. And I came back and I was like, wow, I want to keep on doing this. So now here I am doing this, running these tours.
That's great. And I know you have a good relationship with City Repair and the Village Building Convergence Project. And you did a local ride recently. How did that go?
We actually had quite an amazing turnout. Probably between 80 and 100 folks showed up. We just started out at the Sunnyside Environmental School this Sunday, and we basically went to various village building convergence sites all in Southeast, and up at the City Repair office for a vegan lunch, and just had a discussion. It went really, really well. It was really great.
Well, what I particularly like about what you're doing, as someone who has done my own self-supported tours in other countries, I find that it's really the best way to actually experience a culture. I've traveled by bus and train and car and bike in other communities and other cultures, but you really get to know the area when you're on your bike. You can smell your surroundings. You have much different exchanges with people as you pass them by. So I think it's great that you guys are doing really great projects, but doing it with a bike offers the people involved a very different experience and a chance to really get to know those communities that you go through.
Absolutely, absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, you know, there's when you're moving 10 miles an hour, it's a whole different speed than when you're moving in a car or in a bus. It's just a very different perspective that you get at the area. You get to talk to people you would never otherwise talk to. Yep. Absolutely.
Great. Thanks, Vladislav. And Stephen Kung from Community Exchange Cycle Touring Club. Stephen, tell us a little bit about your project.
Yeah, what we are actually a peace and nonviolence organization. We started out actually in a public forum called Mind Trust that was started by an individual here in Portland. Her name is Maren Saunders. I just want to give her a little bit of credit and recognition for supporting us on this. I had personally done some international bicycle tours, completely self-supported. I did a tour in Europe in 2003 through three different countries, and then 2004 I was in China searching my roots. And I had come to understand that, just like Aileen, when you travel on a bike, people become more interested in you. They are less defensive about your presence in their country, and they feel that you are actually part of them. They are interested in what you have to say, where you've come from, and where you're going. And so the cultural communication and the diversity fusion immediately takes place when you're on a bicycle and looking like you are experiencing the local culture. So from that, I also wanted to introduce this to others who perhaps have always wanted to travel or tour on a bicycle but never had the chance to. Maybe there are hindrances, roadblocks, such as mechanical difficulties, such as physical challenges, not being able to ride for extended period of time. So our club, its mission is to facilitate people to be able to develop this kind of skills and also expose them to other like-minded communities around the world to connect them through exchange cycle tours that are reciprocated, and each bicycle community hosts each other and be able to travel in each other's countries, share the cuisine, the culture, the languages, their local customs, and even some social issues and political challenges. So that's what we're trying to do. We're a fledgling community. We just started in the beginning of February of this year. But what is so amazing is that we have so many volunteers who are willing to put in time, energy, and resources just, you know, out of the good hearts, you know, of their spirits. Within 1 week of our start, we had a donated space to hold free community repair clinics weekly. And I want to thank Scott Potter of Wire Cycles for offering up his space. And we've been holding free repair clinics at his house, basically, on Division and 25th Street for the last 3 weeks. Very successfully. This last Saturday, we had a huge showing. We actually had to ask some people to come back next week. But we will get to you. And and we've had local community and businesses donate different things in kind to us. And we are also starting different bicycle repair clinics in different cities. Starting March 15th, we will be starting a new clinic, free clinic, at Bad Boys Bicycles in Vancouver, Washington. And the owner, Larry Nielsen, is a good friend of mine, and he fully supports our cause. He's actually our bike shop sponsor. He helps us purchase tools and parts basically at wholesale cost to support all our efforts. So we really want to give big thanks to Larry and his whole family. And also we're starting a after-school program in Lagos-Rigo School District in April. It's a six-week structured program, and it's being delivered. It's designed and delivered by a team of United Bicycle Institute mechanics. Mm-hmm. We're all certified. And we want to bring the knowledge of how to survive on a bike and how to actually do everything you can do on a bike into the classroom to children at that particular demographic level in our society. We believe this will really make a huge difference in promoting bicycle culture and international exchange. So there are many different things that are going on. We are working with Jeff Bernard, also of Shift, on a bicycle tour that's for beginners. It's going to be in Oxbow Regional Park in July. And so we have all this information also posted on our Yahoo group site. We are doing weekend rides also to try to help people figure out their gears, figure out their equipment needs, riding gear, clothing needs, and basically teach them how to actually ride safely on either city streets or shared bike paths with pedestrians and so forth. And so we want to really make it a very, very easy transition for someone who's never been on a bike to come into the bicycle community.
I've been speaking with people a lot lately about that exact issue, and there are so many groups in town that cater to people who are very comfortable on a bike, want to go fast, want to go faster, want to go up hills, want to go further, want to race. But it seems that if somebody is new and starting out, when you're young and you're in college or you're in high school, it's okay to jump on a bike and get out there and just try it. But as we age, it becomes more intimidating, possibly because we often drive more and we learn how scary the streets can be. But I've often thought and recently been speaking with people about that fact that there is that need for some support for people who are new to biking. And it's great that your group is offering this for people. So they have that support network as they're getting started, someone they can ask their questions of, and they're not just out there alone.
Right. And I think, just speaking from my personal experience, I've ridden with some of the local club rides, you know, and I know that there are, they try their best to try to cater to different levels of riders. They write down exactly, they publicly post exactly what level of ride each ride is so that people won't mistakenly join a ride that is extremely outside of their capabilities. But what we try to do is we want to make sure we leave no rider behind every time we go on a planned ride, and we always want to have certified mechanics accompany the group. So that's one thing we are going to try to do as a organizational policy.
I recently was fortunate enough to host 12 people from Vancouver, BC in town a couple weekends ago they came into town for the Zubom mini bike winter, and we have spent a little bit of time since Bike Summer 2002 here in Portland having a bit of an exchange with Vancouver and people coming back and forth. And it's fascinating when we all hang out together, because we're really closely observing each other's bike culture and the minutia of it. Do you run stop signs? How do you guys do things here? What type of bike do you ride? And it's like we're exploring each other's species, these bike people species, and we're so fascinated with all these little details. So that's one of the things that your club has going that I think is really interesting, this idea of going to other countries or seeing other areas and sharing that culture. And I think it's really limitless. I've found that bike people in other communities are really excited to meet people from Portland and from other cities too, but especially right now from Portland, and they're very friendly and welcoming and wanting to host and exchange and spend time together and clear their schedules and take you on a tour of their city. So I'm really excited to see that part of your club develop and see what you guys wind up planning. Do you have anything in the works right now, or is that all future plans for your club?
Well, right now we are planning to have a Oregon Coast bike route tour this August. The actual date hasn't been defined yet, but we would want to invite any other international or even outside of community touring groups to hook up with us and go on the same bike tour. And it's going to be very much a self-supported style, where there isn't a huge big organizer trying to collect a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is have each individual make that experience an adventure in their own experience. So we want to help people be able to pretend like they're touring on their own, but with an entire support network behind them, and be able to see different areas through the eyes of others as well. So having local hosts definitely takes away a lot of the burden and risks planning your own tours. Imagine you have friends and family all around the world whom you can hook up with and go and tour in their own backyard. I mean, that is the whole idea. That's the vision. And we're trying everything we can to facilitate that. And we hope the communities will rally behind us and volunteer and support us.
And so, Vladislav, tell us a little bit about your Sustainable Energy in Motion bike tours. I know are connected to the Portland piece. Tell us a little bit about the organization behind the project and what all you have going on there.
Well, I mean, our primary project right now are the bike tours, really. We're looking to do some other stuff down the line, to be an actual physical community space, to be a think tank running progressive public policy. But those are all things that are going to come in the years following. Right now, we're completely focused. All of our energies are just going into the bike tours, pretty much.
And if people want more information on the bike tours, where can they go for that?
They can go on our website at www.portlandpeace.org. That's Portland Peace as in peace and justice.org. Or they can give us a call at 503-239-8426. Again, the number is 503-239-8426.
And how accessible are the rides? Does someone need to be a very experienced rider, or if somebody's really new to the idea of bike touring, how would they find the pace and the support network throughout your tours?
Well, I mean, it's not a race. Most of our cyclists who go on these tours tend to be commuter cyclists. They tend to be folks who have never done a bike tour before. And the mileage is very, very gentle. We're looking at between 20 to 60 miles a day, which is 2 to 6 hours of biking a day. It's very, very mild. It's definitely not a race. And we get folks from all different levels. And so, yeah, it's definitely not something to be concerned about.
And I know you did the rides last summer, and I heard you have some potential returning riders this year.
I believe half of our riders from last summer are going to be returning this year.
That's great.
That's half of those who have confirmed so far. We may have more coming back. So.
And our number here is 503-231-8187. If you have any questions this morning for our guests here, and you are welcome to call in this morning, 503-231-8187. Stephen.
Yeah, and I just want to also thank Vladislav for his organization in supporting what our club is trying to do. He has very kindly offered to us free website hosting service through one of his sister company, thinkhost.com. And as I know, Sustainable Energy in Motion has a corporate policy to support nonprofit organizations in website hosting services. So I just want to really thank Vladislav for this opportunity to work with them, and as well as a lot of other individuals and businesses that have so far helped us. You can also find more information about our progress and events at our Yahoo group site. We don't have our full-fledged, own self-sustaining website up and running yet. In fact, we need volunteers to help develop the website for us. But we do have a Yahoo group site. You can find us by the name Exchange Cycle Tours at yahoogroups.com. So that's Exchange Cycle Tours at yahoogroups.com.
And tell us a little bit more about, I've seen your flyer for the bike repair clinic and cycling spin classes that happened at Wired Cycles. Tell us what happens there and a little bit more about the espresso and juice bar and everything that you guys offer. It sounds great.
Yeah, what we want to do is create a very social atmosphere for people gathering to experience learning and even training. So during the first part of the 3 hours, we will take in students who basically come in by either reading our flyers, checking things out on community calendars, or just simply seeing our sign posted outside of Scott's house saying free bike clinic with a big arrow. And people come in and they sign a little liability release agreement, and then they go right to work. They bring their own bikes, or they can use one of our bikes, and we start teaching them whatever they like to know about their bikes or what they need to have repaired. And we also planned originally, when we have large volume of students who want to learn, to separate them into groups, because we have so many certified mechanics to be able to help so many people simultaneously. We can actually break people up into groups and teach them different levels of bicycle repair techniques. And then basically at the second half of the hour, of the whole session, we start a spin training class. We have purchased 20 CycleOps magnetic stationary rear wheels trainers, and we hook people up on these with their own bikes to help them learn how to shift, learn how to keep the proper cadence when they're riding, and also make ergonomic adjustments on their bikes so that they are riding safely and comfortably with their own machines. And then we basically run a spin class for about 1 hour where people right until they sweat, and we do that to DJ mixed world music, and just kind of set people in that mindset of pretending you're in a different country and you're riding through and you're dancing to the tunes of the local music. So we also have the juice bar. Scott is very much into juicing and also espresso making. And so far, we've been able to offer that for free to everyone who comes in. Scott will go around asking each individual, what would you like in your smoothie? And so I'm starting to develop an addiction to my weekly smoothie. So.
Well, it sounds almost too good to be true. You've got free bike repair, ergonomic adjustments to the bike, free smoothies, espresso. You guys, it sounds like you guys have a really great thing going on there.
What's the catch?
Yeah.
There is no catch. I think the whole idea is seeing something that makes sense to do and just go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
We just have a lot of good intention from the community and the volunteers. Everybody is doing this basically wanting to help other people, wanting to have more peace in the world, you know, build more friendship. And I think that's what our goal is.
So both our guests today, you have these supported bike tours that people could join in, but it sounds like both of you have done a lot of touring yourself and that you probably have a lot of advice and resources to offer, just and information and gear and stuff. And I want to encourage our listeners to call in and make use of this opportunity. Talk to Stephen and Vladislav about bike touring, either about the tours in particular or about touring that you'd like to do and what you could do to prepare. Our number is 503-231-8187. Bike touring is one of the most great things that you can do. I've had an awesome time doing it, and I've never done a supported bike tour, but there's nothing like just going out there. And I like how you said the community really accepts you and wants to know what you're doing. You really immediately connect with people, and I think it's awesome that you all are lending that support to other people.
I have some friends who are currently doing some touring in Thailand, I want to say. They have a tandem with a baby seat on the back and a custom rear rack that holds the baby seat and panniers. And then on top of that, they have this huge, I think it's a 4-foot flag, a yellow and red flag that flies behind it. And they brought this whole setup with them touring. And I just got their first ride report. They just arrived, and they said immediately when they hit the street, everybody was honking and waving and smiling, thumbs up from all the truck drivers. They said it was like they were in a parade. They couldn't believe the enthusiasm from people and people just cheering them on. Look at that, you know. And they said they actually wished they had an American flag on the back of the seat just to show that there are Americans out there who are doing great things and, you know, no reason to hate all of us and kind of foster some good international relationships that way. But it's great to think about how the bicycle can really do that and can really give you that different experience when you're seeing a different culture. We'll go to our first caller. Good morning. You are on the KBOO Bike Show.
Hi. I've been living in Holland for 17 years, and I've seen a lot of bikes in there. They have these bicycles over there. Maybe you're familiar with them. They look like it's like a pickup truck bed with two wheels underneath it, and then they got one rear wheel. That's what you sit on top of that wheel, and that's where your brake is.
Yes.
Have you ever seen those?
Yep. Yeah, box feet.
Yeah, box feet. Yeah, yeah. But hand them off the back. People, when they move houses, when they move in Amsterdam, when you move your house, you move everything. You know, about two or three trips on the box feet, and that's enough. You know.
Yep. One of the beauties of traveling the world, you get to see a little bit more intense bike carrying stuff.
Well, yeah, and plus there's a, well, you know, I mean, it's just more, I'm afraid to ride with traffic in this country. I really am. I always ride against traffic, and everybody gets down on me about it, but I'll pay the ticket. I don't care. I mean, I want to see what's coming.
Wow.
But there, at least people know that you're riding with traffic, and there's a bike lane, and you know, but over here it's like, you know, people are just running off the road, and they don't even see it.
Well, we're waiting for the excellent bike infrastructure to come here, and it is making its way. And I think the better the infrastructure, the less likely you will feel you need to break the law, which unfortunately is not always on our side. So,
and in addition to riding the wrong way being law breaking, I think more importantly, it's actually not any safer because the cars are not anticipating you to be riding that direction. I would encourage you to, and maybe you've already done this, but just my piece of advice would be to find alternate routes that are a little less crazy and ride with traffic because predictable that way.
I ride on the sidewalk against traffic.
Well, that's so, for you to decide, of course. Do you have a question for the guests?
Yeah. Oh, hey, I got one more question. Is that okay?
Yes.
Hey, what about I had a bicycle there. It was made out of aluminum, and it was really, 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 really nice and super light. But you could sit down and ride it. You could steer right on your side. Let's say you steer the bicycle. It was like 18 speeds or something like that. But how come they, do you know why why don't they let those bikes in the Tour de France? Because they're really good on hills, too. They're great when you're going into the wind, you pass everybody up.
I'm not so sure they are restricted, Tour de France. But we'll check back on that next show. How's that?
Thanks a lot.
Okay, take it easy. Be safe.
And our number here is 503-231-8187 if you have any questions for our guests on bike touring and the projects that they have planned. This is the KBOO Bike Show here on KBOO Portland. We are on the air the first Wednesday of every month, and this morning we're talking about bike touring, sort of to get you out of the winter glum and get you thinking about some things that you might want to do this summer. We're talking with Stephen Kung from Community Exchange Cycle Touring Club. And we're also talking with Vladislav Davidson from Sustainable Energy in Motion Bike Tours.
And I want to be clear on what you're working on, Stephen. It sounds like your goal is to have international bike tours, but are those ready to go, or is that coming up?
No, they are not ready to go, but we believe the piece that we can add is setting up a network of web space where different clubs can actually log on and present themselves, having profiles and also having a whole feedback system and review system behind that. So different communities can basically describe to others what kind of experience they've had with each other. And by doing that, when you have enough people networked together, things will happen, spark will start flying, people will start connecting with each other and say, hey, you know, we have five people want to do something in this country,
okay,
maybe in 6 month time, you know, who is out there willing to do an exchange with us?
And
so
then,
we want to set up that kind of infrastructure.
And then would those tours be supported, or would they be supported only insofar as, like, here's all kinds of information, great campsite round the bend on mile 35?
What we really want is for people to take care of each other. We want to build a camaraderie and teamwork. So the hosting community will figure all that out, hopefully, for the incoming community.
That's great.
Okay. And so, for example, very solid example, in Portland, we have the great Oregon Coast Bike Scenic Tour, okay, scenic route. That is very well documented, very well publicized, and a lot of people have done it in their experience. So we are a perfect group to help people take them through that entire experience, because we already know what campsites are out there, which, you know, particular small routes are, you know, can take you to particular scenic areas on the coast. And the same thing can happen when you go to a different country. And what I really want to do is make sure people realize the mission is that you are really self-reliant. If you show up in a country and nobody is there to receive you, have an adventure on your own. You know, you could absolutely do that. It helps when there's someone there who knows about the land, who knows where to buy the most nutritious and inexpensive food, and, you know, be able to help you out.
And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You are on the KBOO Bike Show.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, Aileen, how you doing? It's
good.
Dr. Dave.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. I was just wanting to let people know that if they're intimidated about going out on the road, like the cost, that you can do it really cheap. I mean, I've ridden down to California and back, and I've never paid to camp anywhere, because you can always find a spot, especially on the coast. So it's like, don't let that keep you from going out on the road. And it's pretty easy. You can be self-sufficient, and it's cheap. I mean, you can eat cheaply, you know, go to grocery stores, get granola, whatever, bananas, you know. It's fun.
And what could you offer as advice to people for preparing? If they're not going to bring their credit card, what's the best thing they can take to be prepared?
Oregon Trail card.
Well, I don't understand. What is it?
It's a food stamp card. If you qualify for one, bring one of those.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling, Dave.
All right. Take care. See ya.
Yeah, you too. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You're on the KBOO Bike Show. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi there.
My name is Daniel, and I just have a really simple question.
Sure.
I've got a Specialized Cirrus, and I'm just wondering if that is okay for a touring biker, if it's a little light duty for that.
Sounds like it would be a great bike. Key things for a touring bike is to have low gears, and you want to have a strong frame, which I'm thinking the Specialized Cirrus is right in there. Road bikes are excellent touring bikes, especially if you make some adaptions to them, like a triple chainring, so you have a very, very low gear.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Those are, that's, I'd say, virtually key. I don't know if I'd recommend heading out almost anywhere without it. Although,
right.
I did a tour this summer with very minimal gear, but I guess don't let your gear stop you is something I'd say, but a low gear for touring, especially if you're carrying your stuff, is key. Strong brakes, key.
Yeah,
and maybe take that bike out on a shorter tour and see how it suits you. That'll give you a sense of what you're looking for and if that bike's going to work for you before you head out on a week-long or two-week tour.
Oh, right. But I I trust in my ability to build a good callus or whatnot. But I haven't ever done any touring before, but I'm pretty active, and I'm in my mid-40s, but I've been very active all my life since high school, so... So that should work out. I would like to get the information of the people that are there, and I have a piece of paper and pencil. I'll take that info off air though if I can.
Sure, we will announce that once again.
Okay, great.
Great, thanks so much for your call.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And along those lines, I'd like to encourage people to try touring even if you're not a hardcore rider, because there's nothing that says you need to be going fast, and there's nothing that says you can't stop all the time to look at the beautiful scenery or to have a snack along the way. I toured in Ireland a couple years ago with my best friend who never rides a bike, and we just took it slow, and we had one of the most amazing trips ever, and we weren't in a hurry, and the first day we were sore, but after that, we really just ease into it. And unless you're climbing big hills, the terrain really you just really kind of fall right into the terrain, and it's a wonderful way to travel, even if you're not a hardcore rider. Touring is one way to get around that you really don't need to be a hardcore rider. You do maybe need to carry some heavy stuff, but you really get used to it after spending hours and hours on the bike. So could we get the two of you to announce your contact information again for the listeners who may not have caught that earlier? We'll start with you, Stephen. How can people find out about Community Exchange Cycle Touring?
Yeah, we have our Yahoo group site. It's at groups.yahoo.com/group/exchangecycletours. So that, or if you simply go on to Yahoo Groups and search the keyword Exchange Cycle Tours, all one word, and you'll find us.
Great, thanks. And Vladislav, how about you?
PortlandPeace.org is our website. That's PortlandPeace, and PeaceAndJustice.org. Or they can give us a call at 503-239-8426.
Great, thanks, you guys. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning. You're on the KBOO Bike Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been biking for over 30 years now and touring for about 27.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it so much that I've changed my name to Pedal Tramp.
Nice.
And I just wanted to make a few suggestions. I'm kind of getting up in age, but I still love touring. I don't quite do I still do a lot of long tours. In fact, just a couple years ago, I did the tour of the Continental Divide, which was wonderful if you like back roads riding.
Absolutely.
Oregon is really a great place for going up into the woods and camping in the summer because, you know, the weather is really fantastic and we have lots of great public land to camp on. I really heartily recommend it for people that do it. It takes a little bit more skill than riding on paved roads. And you've got to have, you know, the right equipment for it, you know, a mountain bike or whatever. And you do have to carry a little more food because there's not as many services up there. But I find I just take it slow. Oftentimes I only ride 15 miles a day. And like you said, going slow can really make for a great trip.
Yep. Great. Well, thanks so much for your call this morning.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a very good way to ease yourself into longer and longer distances is to start by doing very short rides. First of all, ride without carrying any load and just be able to ride on flats, then slowly build up more endurance and load carrying capacity, you know, capability. Before I did my first tour, which was in 2003 on the Oregon coast, I actually tested my bicycle by putting water, jugs of water, inside my panniers and then carried them out and rode, first of all, 25 miles carrying the, you know, about 60 pounds of load, and then went 50 miles, and then went 100 miles. And when I could do that, and I even told my mom I would camp out in her backyard to test out my equipment, And it was actually on a very cold night, and she invited me back into the house. So I took her advice, and I didn't stay out there. But eventually, when I stayed on the Oregon coast, I did camp out. But I've tested all my equipment before I actually went out alone to risk everything. So it helps when you are also with another group. There are people who have traveled out there and experienced things. They've done legal and illegal things out there. So it's best to talk to them before you actually venture out completely on your own.
And it's fun to travel with others, so you can share. You bring one stove or maybe one tent, and you can cook together, and there's lots of advantages. It's actually one of the things I really love about bike touring is that it gives you lots and lots of time to just be in your own space and to pedal and to have the rhythm and to see the beautiful landscape and to have your own time. I've done both solo and with others, and both are quite great.
My next tour is, if you look at an Oregon map and look down in the southeast corner where there are no roads, that's where I really want to go and explore that, learn a little bit more about Oregon. But along the lines of cultural exchanges and visiting other cities, currently Vancouver, BC has an open invitation for anyone from Portland who'd like to come visit. I believe it's March 25th. Their Chopper Collective up there is having a big celebration. They will be debuting their new bicycle dance troupe and called the Bicyclettes for Vancouver, BC, and that's March 25th. They're called the Margaret Charles Chopper Collective, MC3. If you just do an internet search for them, they're easy to find, and you can contact them. They're happy to help find housing for people, and they have a whole festival weekend planned up in Vancouver, BC, end of March. Sounds like lots of fun. I'm hoping to go up there for it, and those are great people to meet and learn about their bike culture and share some of ours as well. Well, it looks like we are just about out of time here this morning, but it was great to have both of you on the air with us this morning to talk more about your projects. We've been speaking with Stephen Kung from Community Exchange Cycle Touring Club. We've also been talking with Vladislav Davidson from Sustainable Energy in Motion Bike Tours. Both the two of them have some great projects planned and are putting an excellent spin on cycling and touring, and with Community Exchange offering some great free resources right here in the community. This has been the KBOO Bike Show here on KBOO in Portland. We are podcasting at bikeshow.portlandtransport.com. And we are also through iTunes. You can find our podcast if you're interested in listening to the program and sharing it with people outside the area. You can also find us on the internet at yaybikes.net/radio. That's yaybikes.net/radio, where you can listen to archived versions of our show and find out all sorts of great additional information.
And I want to say another great thing about bike riding is that as you're cruising along, you're right in the environment, so you can always stop to check out whatever is on the road or on the side of the road. And as I was in New York, I was there the first day, and I was a little intimidated. Oh, boy, back in New York, everything's so scary here. And what did I find on the street there in Dumbo? iPod. So now I have my own very own iPod, which I figure is about the, probably would have cost me about the price of taking the train, which was a fabulous journey across the country and back. And so now I can iPod out and download
the
bike
show.
So it's nifty to have that opportunity, and thanks to Portland Transport for hosting us there. And it's exciting that people anywhere can listen at any time now. Big, big thanks to Chris, and I'll be trying it out myself.
Thanks so much for listening this morning to the KBOO Bike Show. We will be on the air the next month, first Wednesday of the month. In the meantime, make it a great day and keep riding your bike.
scars like those outside of bars. Sharpie shrapnel shards like those outside of. The wind pushes up against my ears and my eyes. My bicycle pumps beneath me in the dead of night. I see you in the shadows between the streetlights and the trees. Outside there is no longer the buzzing of the bees. Capability to swarm. You can shoot me in the head, you can leave me out for dead, but you can't get me, no you can't get me. You can rape me in my bed, you can't get inside my head, no you can't get me, no you can't get me. Push me to the ground, not my bicycle, a bicycle. Sharpie shrapnel shards like those outside of bars. Sharpie shrapnel shards like those outside of.